This is RSBNB Update, episode 427, recorded Friday, August 23rd, 2013. Divination, Memory Management. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to this episode of RSBNB Update. This week, we have two guests with us, which is because of a certain skill that came out on RuneScape. And that only happens, over 3 years now. So we figured we'd do an extra special thing and have two people on. First up with us is Uncle Dano. He does various things around RSBNB, chat mod, and frequency friends chat quite a bit.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much, Shane, for inviting me on our show this week.
Always good to have you on. And of course, we also got...
You kind of forget Shane. It's not him who decided, it's his wife.
Oh, okay. And as I was saying, we also got Alex43 from RSBNB Informer.
Hey, hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show. Shane, when do I get paid?
I need to sort that out. If we ever want to take ads on the show, then that might be something worth looking at. But right now, we don't do that.
Oh. Darn it, why am I here then?
Out of the kindness of your heart.
And who is that we just heard?
Me, Trekkie. J.
Mr. J1, J2, J3. The easiest name to type in RuneScape.
And yet you failed one time.
Didn't fail. That was an intentional typo.
Right.
Yep, it was.
It was a practical joke. You were not humored.
All right. So, as I mentioned, skill release this week, divination.
You spoiled it.
Yes. Well, this is what people have been waiting for quite some time. The first skill to be released since April 2010. Somewhat longer if you don't consider dungeoneering a skill. Which I don't, but that's beside the point. We settled that debate a long time ago. So, before we get too far down the road, I'm just going to quote a bit from the news posting that JX put out this week. The 26th skill, make useful new signs and portents, transmute resources to better one, and conjure with bountiful divine locations for you and your friends to harvest. So that's divination. So before we get going, what does anybody want to open with any quick remarks?
Okay, this skill is very AFK-able. Enough said.
I don't think so.
I find it semi. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like mining.
Like, you don't even get like a minute on those. You just click on it and then it's like, gotta go to the next one.
It's
kind of AFK-able. Like, I mean, you can't do it while you're washing the dishes, but you can do it when you're, I guess, say, doing your homework.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of like RuneSpan.
Exactly. For anybody who hasn't done it yet, it's basically, think RuneSpan in the natural world with energy. There you go. Hence why it's called the Caffeine High. I like that.
Caffeine High Divination.
Nice. So,
and you have to be on the caffeine high to train it for a while.
Oh, really? You've been doing that?
Yep, I got up to level 29. It's actually quite quick to get the first few levels, but then it progressively gets slower and slower.
Yep.
Just like any other skill, of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep.
It's a very simple skill to master and figure out how to do. So much so, I was kind of disappointed in that this week, we launched something called RSBNB Update Supplemental, which is a bit of a, think of it as a limited focus. You know how we do RSBNB Update Focus, going in depth on a certain matter? Mm-hmm. Supplemental is something where we can cover technical details of an update before you guys are listening to this on the weekend. So, for example, if something comes out that needs a technical backgrounding, we'll do it on supplemental during the week. And that's what I chose to launch RSBNB Update Supplemental with, which you can conveniently find on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. So you can just head on over there and watch the little 10-minute video about what we were doing on the start of Divination and how to get started with it. But for those of you guys who didn't listen to that, or you're just listening for the first time now, there's basically two things that you get when you're training Divination out at one of the various colonies. First one is the memories, which are non-stackable. And they're basically used for experience or converting them to energy. And you also can harvest energy from the Wisp colonies, and those are used to either increase the experience earned or make items using Divination. That is as simple as Divination gets.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, collect energy a lot, as much as you can, because it'll either get you lots of experience or actual rewards.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything in the Divination skills early on that's really worth saving energy up for that. Why don't we start with the portents now that we... do you guys have any comments on the actual training of memories and energy and how simple it is?
Well, it is incredibly simple. I'm most disappointed in that because... Nowadays, RuneScape's been becoming so much more complex with the updated graphics and orchestral soundtracks and all of that. Then they come out with Divination, you're sort of expecting sort of this, I guess, a skill that you train in this big, incredible place, like a whole bunch of new locations thrown all around RuneScape or whatever, but instead all you get is just little crevices with a bunch of floating orbs, and that's the skill right there.
Yeah.
It's not that simple, it's that there's not much there. It's like you kind of expect there to be a little bit more to it, but for a whole new skill. I mean, a new skill is a big deal. It's something that lasts in RuneScape that everybody trains. And yet there's not that much to it right now.
And how did you guys find the mechanics of it? I mean, the wisps themselves look like a tiny little Earth with a moon going around it and then Comet Ison coming and crashing. And it's a little tiny thing to click on, which is easier, okay? The field of view to click on it is actually bigger. Then the one to me, which is really frustrating, which is the Chronicle fragment, and that's the orange one that comes around and dances around like a bee, and it's you're clicking click 10 times.
You have to click directly on it too while it's moving, and it's always moving.
Yeah, that one's hard.
That's when you start playing RTS games, you get really, really good at it.
Good point.
Yeah, that's something I didn't mention, the Chronicle Fragments. Those basically give you a little bit of Hunter XP, and you can either take them to the Guthix Memorial or back to the woman where you started Divination for a bit less XP.
If you did the quest, you have that 6-H circuit ring, so you can just use that to teleport there. So I would highly advise you just carry that ring with you at all times, and when you get the 10 fragments, teleport over there and then teleport back however way you wish, because... People say the experience is not worth it, but it kind of is.
It is, and you can jump back and forth really quickly. Like, I'm at the, I think the fourth one, which is the Golden Apple Tree in the Fremenic province, and there's a fairy ring right there, and you can go between that one and the fairy ring at the Legends Guild to jump right into the Guthix Shrine.
There you go.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's what I've done, too. I've also just teleported to her, donate lodestone, and then teleport back to wherever.
Yep.
And again, you wear a ring, that's half the trip right there.
Yeah, true. I already have a ring on me. It's a kinship one to go down to Dungeoneering. Oh. Yeah.
All right.
I was experimenting with Dungeoneering, but I'll touch on that later.
How is the Dungeoneering version of it? Is it just basically the same as the regular version?
Yeah, let's talk about that now. Go for it.
Okay. So I wanted to test out and see, you know, what can I do with Dungeoneering? Because... as you know, one of the abilities of Divination is that you have the ability to open a door that you do not match the level as long as you have the item. So I wanted to try it out and see how exactly it works. So my problem right now so far is that my Divination is exactly as high as I guess my level would like me to be. Because when I go into Dungeoneering, I'm with other people who is like already maxed out on combat with a couple 99s already. So a lot of the wisp that's in there is like 85, 70, which I'm not there yet. But when I am able to find one, that I can actually use. I don't know, it's pretty simple. The memories are stackable in Dungeoneering, so you don't have to worry about running out of space.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of like fish, raw fish, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there is the portal thing and at the home teleport, it can convert energy or experience. I found that, there's basically two things you can make in Dungeoneering so far. It's basically the Dungeoneering version of Ring of Life, where if you drop below a certain amount of life points, you'll gain that much at the end, or if you meet the criteria. The other one is the ability to open any door that you don't meet the level within, 2 or 12, depending on what it is. The issue I had with this was that I didn't try with sending it to gathering for the ring, but my little pet peeve was that you pretty much need two Wisp in order to get enough energy, and you can only make one of each, and that's basically it. That's my little pet peeve with this, is that I think you should get more energy, because each of the times you use it to open a door or something, it costs 30 energy. Which is not really enough. I only got roughly 70, which is just enough for the life and the door. And I can make one of each, and so you're pretty much set on one.
Okay. Question with this. Are you able to bring energy that you gather in the real world into dungeon? Okay.
Nope.
Got their own energy down there, don't they?
Yeah.
Same as everything tiered. Else.
Interestingly enough, tier 10 is 85. I was like, oh, that's
really
interesting. Yeah, I'm guessing because no one's 99 yet, so there's no point to release 11 and all that.
Well, tier 10 is only level 90, though, so why level 85?
Yeah, but when I clicked on it, it said level 85, which I thought was
interesting. I think it's a typo?
Yeah, level 80, they made it per 5 level rather than 10, but... All right. Is there anything else pertaining to Dungeoneering Divination that needs to be discussed?
Well, it's still on the Portent of Passage. It kind of replaces the need to actually make potions, right? Because I would do Dungeoneering and start out by, if I've got enough money, I'll buy the seed for Lycopus, Winter's Grip, and
grow it.
The other one, to Buckthorn. So you get the maximum amount of potions, and you carry them around unfinished, and when you need to open a door, you just add the secondary to it, and you're on your way. So this one would kind of replace that if you spend a little bit of time gathering some energy and then you just make a portent of passage when you need to go through a door.
The thing is about the passage one is that, as I said, you need about 30 energy to make one. And there's only, I haven't managed to really try it out, but what I'm assuming is basically one try and that's basically it.
Okay.
That's actually all right, isn't it? Because if you're able to make like a dozen of them, then there wouldn't really be that many doors that you can't go through.
But it's only for one door. It only works for one door. At least that's my belief so far.
And how many doors down in Dungeoneering usually have too high of a level to get through? It's usually one, isn't it?
One or two, yeah.
I've had around the highest one. I've had about three or so because I don't have. I'm not Dana with 99 and everything yet. what's nice about it is that about to level 40 or 50, you can get. You get a pretty decent range. I think level 40, you get around like 10 or something, as your range. So if you're 99, you can use the cheapest one and open 101 door easy. The highest door that pops up is usually 107 or something like that.
Yeah.
So those are pretty relatively easy. I think my little thing is that what I really like them to do with Dungeoneering is, if you have a charm, you can like a blue charm, you can downgrade it using it on a summoning stone.
Okay.
So it can turn that into a crimson, and that into a green, and that into a gold. So that's what I like to do when people who have 99, we don't need the super high level one. So it would be nice if we could downgrade the energy to a lesser one, so we have more of it. Because usually we just need roughly basically level 20 to get past a 5-door range for most people. But getting the energy is, same thing, relatively easy. I find that you only need about 2 Wisp in order to get enough for one of each. But I just think that you'd be able to combine, downgrade some of the energy you get in it later on would help out.
Okay.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
All right, so that's Dungeoneering. The Portent of Passage, like Uncle Dano said, is a good thing and potentially will remove the need for some potions. Now, you can also have portents on the surface world, particularly portent of restoration and the attuned portent of restoration. And what these items are is that if you fall below half life points, it will restore 200 life points for the tier 1 version, for example. So basically,
it's automatic food. Automatic food.
Force feed. Mm-hmm. It's a force feed.
It's
automatic it food. Is. You can fight Making stuff and you don't have to eat stuff. You just automatically eat stuff.
Yep.
Which is why it's actually pretty good in engineering. If you make that and you want to stay alive, it can save you.
And when you're fighting bosses, too. It's one less thing you have to click on when you're fighting bosses.
Does it go in your pocket?
You guys... Yes, these are all pocket items.
So they're not stackable.
No. No. The portents just sit in your backpack.
The signs are pocket items.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're stackable. I think they take up the same amount of room as a piece of food.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the attuned portent
microwave
restoration mark
10
give you 1860 life points if you fall below 50%, and that's pretty good. So
yeah.
Definitely something to consider when you get up there. But the attuned version requires one rock tail and 60 incandescent energy. So
60? Even think about it. That's not too much.
It's not bad.
Yeah, and you need to put a rock tail into it, so it is kind of like food. It's just automated.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to make that in engineering too. Didn't make it, and I ended up dying. Like, oh, why didn't I make it? So, yeah. But I was testing it out anyway.
So. And there's also the portent of item protection. You can use two of these to increase the maximum amount of items that you can keep to 5 when you die. What do you guys think of that one?
Well, none of us really PK, so it's kind of useless on us.
Everything, I know, anyway, but still. You? I mean, even for PVM and bossing.
Yeah, I guess. When usually we have the gravestone thing and we just run back there, grab it, and get the hell out.
Yeah, but there's also something else for that coming up later on. But first, there's the portent of life that will actually revive you if you die. Of course, not in PvP areas.
Yeah.
So 1 hour cooldown shared with the sign of life. It'll revive you with 25% of your base life points.
Yay.
And that's at level 99 divination.
I think have you guys had to try any transmuting abilities?
Actually, can we do the signs next, then we'll come back to transmuting after?
Yeah.
I want to do the signs, because these are kind of like the portents. As Alex said, these are the ones that you wear in your pocket slot. And the sign of respite actually extends your gravestone duration.
Really?
For 2, 4, and 6 minutes. Available levels 8, 23, and 38. What do you guys think of this?
Well, what's the maximum time you can have on a gravestone? The highest gravestone you can get?
Ooh, I think it's something like, 15 minutes.
15 minutes. So that's more than enough time.
Yeah.
Not always.
So you can bring it up to 6, I guess. This might be good for people like me if I was planning on dying, because I still have a relatively cheap gravestone and only have 5 minutes on mine. So... that might be something worth looking at. Level 38, not too bad. Now, this is something I talked about in the supplemental, Sign of the Porter. Basically, what these things will do is they'll transfer items back to your game. I mean, to your bank. And they have a certain number of charges, either 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, or 30, starting at level 6 all the way going up to level 99. Thoughts?
Useful.
It's good.
Especially for scaling. I like it.
Why is that?
I wonder what item it will be.
Dana, what's your favorite part of sending things back to your bank?
Well, I like that. Now, it would have been very useful when I was training a lot of the gathering skills, but for those who are skilling and gathering stuff, less bank trips means faster XP.
Slightly.
Yeah. So in theory, you could expand your item. If you had level 99 divination, expand your backpack by 30. You just wear one of these. And so instead of getting 28 shark, you'd be able to get 58 in one inventory. Yep. That's pretty nice.
And then you just fill your inventory full of...
Uh-oh.
Alex? All right, we seem to be having some sort of internet connection issue on Alex, but...
Yeah, aren't we? What do I sound like? Do I sound like one of those stuttery kinds of guys, or...?
Yeah, little bad quality, but we'll work with it. I'd have to say this is my favorite part of Divination, or maybe second favorite.
The Porter?
Anybody else agree with me?
I agree. It's a very good idea.
Yes.
You know what item they will bring back? It brings back, or...?
Yes, you can actually check that. You just right-click and you can see what items it's able to send back. It can send back pretty much any raw resource. It can send back farming items. Can send back pretty much everything to do with scaling. So it is pretty, pretty good.
How long does it
last?
You just
have to right-click and choose view items. Like it says, between 5 and 30 charges based on the level that you make.
Hmm. Also, the higher the level, the better resources you can use with it.
What do you mean?
Well, when you get, say, like a level 1 or a tier 1 sign of the Porter, then you can only use it with trout or with oak logs or whatever.
Oh,
like if you
okay.
chop down willow logs with a tier 1 Porter, then it doesn't send it back to the bank.
I think this is anything, but it's only 5 charges for Sign of the Porter 1. Whereas
you can click on it, and it'll show you a list of stuff that it will go with it. And I've noticed there's several things missing. Like Sign of the Porter 1 does not send back rocktails, for instance.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, that would make sense. But
let's see. Little... Sign of the Porter 1. Yes, Alex, it can actually send back rocktails.
Really?
Yep.
Why the heck does it give me that list then? Silly.
It's on the list. It's on the list on the official wiki. So.
Is that on the next page?
Okay, I have been corrected.
It's okay.
There's also one that lets you keep an item as well. So this is, of course, something you can also wear in your pocket. And this stacks with the porting of item protection. So the max number of items that can be kept is 5. So if you have 2 portents or a sign and a portent or a sign and a prayer, these all will stack. If you have 6 portents, only 2 will be used. So the max is 5, no matter what you do.
Good move.
And that's at level 69. And there's also one here that does the same thing as the portent of restoration, and it revives you if you die. So...
Yep,
pretty nice. All right, so moving on from the portents, unless there's anything, or, I mean from the signs, anybody else have any other signs they want to talk about?
No, I think we covered them all, didn't we?
What about you, Mr. Dano?
Yeah, but I'm looking also at how to make these signs and portents, and looking at secondary ingredients and things like that for the porters, it's looking at necklaces, right?
Yep.
So that's a secondary sapphire, emerald, ruby, and diamond necklace. And then the respite sign is limestone. So I'm looking at these as well and looking at the potential for making money now for getting those secondary ingredients on the Grand Exchange and watching the prices of those things go up.
Yeah,
so I'm looking at all of the secondaries for everything that you can make with divination, including probably the next thing we're moving on to as well is with divine locations.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about divine locations now, where you have this node, which is a skilling hotspot, which actually gives you a whole bunch of stuff like a if it's a rock or a tree or a snare or something like that, and you're able to harvest and get a whole bunch of basic items, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if people use that and they can use it once per day to do that,
is it that item for that day or only one day period?
Item per day.
Divine location per day. You can only create one divine location per day. Now, is that any one in the list or one of each in the list?
I'm wondering if it was one of each.
So if you do a divine coal rock, then you're getting a whole bunch of coal, and then can you go on and then do a divine maple tree and get a whole bunch of maple logs in one day?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Wondering. I don't know. Can you? I don't know.
I don't know yet.
No, I don't think you can.
I don't know.
I didn't manage to try that out, but I heard people got decent, really good experience from it.
And that's a lot of raw materials going on the Grand Exchange if everybody does that.
Oh yeah, and plus, if you place it, you can mine it. But when other people mine it as well, for example, you have the ability to get some items back from that as well.
No,
yeah,
no
doubt. Form too. Too.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Oh, you.
Yes, yeah, so it comes back as noted, but it only matches up to 5 people.
I got the answer to your questions.
Okay.
Right. You may only craft one divine location per day.
Keyword
this
craft.
This only applies to crafting. If you save them up, you can place down as many as you want.
Save them up?
Oh.
So every day you must create one. It's another one of those must do it every day thing.
Yeah, so if you wanted to plop a whole bunch of them down at the Grand Exchange, say the Divine Herb Patches, you could do that. You just have to make one a day.
So if you haven't used it in 5 days, you can make it five in one day.
Five. Yep. No, you can't make five in one day. You can put 5 down in one day.
Yeah. All right.
So if you make one a day for 5 days, then you'll have 5 and you can place them all down all at the same time, basically.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Imagine
parties. I see what you mean. So you just make that and keep it in your bank, and then next day make that again, keep it in your bank until you have as many as you want. Then basically have a giant party.
How long do they last? Like, do they last for a certain amount of time, or do they last until...
About 25 seconds.
Yeah, but from what I've heard is that if you get like your clan together to do it, it's really good experience in 25 seconds. Supposedly, I don't know if it's true or not, supposedly someone got like 10,000 XP in 25 seconds from that.
Really?
Because he had his whole entire clan mining from it just to try it out.
How much stuff did he get from it?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Because, I mean, whenever somebody gets something, then he gets a noted version of that as well. So basically, he's cloning him.
But only up to 5 people. If there's more than 5, the rest doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
So there's a cap to how many people can give you that in noted form.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it says here all divine locations remain active for approximately 30 seconds, with the exception of Divine Herb Patch 3, which is 25 seconds, Divine Magic Tree, 25 seconds, and Divine Ruinite Rock, 20 seconds.
So you must be able to harvest really fast from those, huh?
No, you just grab people with dragon pickaxes and pot up to hell and, all right, all ready? I'm ready. You ready? I'm ready. And just do like a Left 4 Dead 2 thing. All ready? I'm ready. And all right, let's go.
And then they get ambushed by a tank as they are mining.
You know, this. I think this is a really great add-on to skilling in general. Because, like, you know, in a pinch, there are times where you just need a piece of coal or some sort of herb. And you don't exactly want to go mine it yourself. And you might not want to buy just one on the Grand Exchange. So just putting one of these down, if you just need a couple of them, seems like a really, really good idea.
I think it's also I think it's a good clan activity too. You know, make a day of, make an hour of just grab whatever we can, resource hunting trip or something. That'd be fun. And what's also good is probably expect people to start to do this too, having an open world like, hey, I'm doing this in 10 minutes. I got 6 of these, and you want to help me out and see
what
comes
down. And
the
chance of a noted item on most of them is 40%. Some of them are 30%, and there's one that's 20%. So you are looking at a very good chance of getting noted things if you get other people from doing this. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it encourages group participation, and it also is encouraging people to, you know, benefit not only from the XP that they're getting, but they're also getting this these items, right? So if said, I have a divine adamantite rock, I want five people to help me, or four other people to help me get it. My initial investment is 25 adamantite ore. So I make it, and that's what it costs me. Hopefully I'll get 25, more than 25 back, but everybody else will also be getting some adamantite at the same time as well.
For free.
For
it's
free.
Like investing in the stock market.
Yeah. Now, if everybody dumps all of that on the Grand Exchange, it's going to drive the price down. Initially, I think all of these secondary ingredients, these materials, there's going to be a huge demand for them if people want to make these divine things, so the price is going to go up. Once people start reaping the benefits and getting that stuff back, they're going to dump them on the Grand Exchange for money, and the price is going to come back down.
And same because thing with the signs, too. Like the necklaces and whatnot, those are going to be in demand as well. So for you crafting people out there who are looking for a way to make money with that, this is probably a good thing to start looking at.
Gems. Actually, gems. Look at the next one, transmutation, where you can start changing gems into other things. You can change...
All right,
you could there's diamonds into dragonstones, Trek.
There's one thing we need to look. There's one thing we need to. We forgot to mention before we started going down these rewards. Oh, boons.
Boons, yes.
Always make them.
Which are, they're passive buffs to your dungeoneering XP. You make them every 10 levels. Did I say dungeoneering?
Yeah, you did.
Divination.
Don't we wish?
Yeah. So the basic training, actually, right at the very beginning, is to gather these wisps, and you're going to get energy and memories. To start off the bat, what you're going to do, except for the first location, if you get to the second location, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be putting it on the second option when you put it into the rift, which is just taking the memories and converting them into XP, saving your energy until you get enough to make the boon. Now, once you get the level to make the boon for the next rift, you make the boon, and you're going to get 10% extra more experience at the next rift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you've made the boon, use the energy to actually increase your XP gain by putting it in the rift, converting both memory and energy at the same time into experience until you get to the level of divination that you want in order to start making these rewards. That's kind of the strategy that I'm doing.
Yeah, me too. And I cannot underscore how important it is going to be to do that, stacking up each 10 levels that you get. Because 10% each time, 10%, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100... So if you didn't make your boons all the way to level 80, you'd be shortchanging yourself on XP by 70%.
Yep.
That does add up.
And, you know, another thing we kind of didn't mention, but people know this anyway, you can sell energy.
Yes.
You can sell the energy, and right now they're going at a pretty decent price, it's a little bit high.
I know, when I saw that you could do that, I felt my lobes perk up.
Because those with a lot of money, here's where you can start buying your experience again. You buy all the energy you want on the Grand Exchange. You just spend money on it. And then when you're out there, you convert all your memories and energy at the same time, and you're getting a little bit extra XP.
And let us not also forget, we're kind of jumping around, but we also forget, every 20 minutes... after you've reached level 10, every 20 minutes, we have something that pops out called the Enrich portal thingy. The more people that gather from that, the longer it stays. Right. That one guarantees you get an Enrich and an Enrich memory, those ones that give a little more XP. Oh, well, one thing I found out is that how people are getting 70 and 80 and all that so quickly is they have friends all over in different in their friend chat, all over in different worlds. The second one pops up... during that time frame, they immediately switch to that server, gather, switch to another server, gather, switch to another server, gather, and, you know, can get a lot of enrichments really quick. Add that in with their buying energy, two together, get quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Divination is a collaborative skill. I like it.
I think timing. I think timing for each server is a little bit different. It's like maybe like a minute, 30 seconds apart, depending on how fast people gather, how people gather from it.
Well, this is a good discussion, and we're going to continue it after because we actually have a bit of a question pertaining to this. So we're going to go back to the reward list. So next up was the transmutations, which is another thing to be excited about, I think.
Yeah,
all right, let's go. Transmutations.
You grab a couple items. You turn water into gold.
It's like upgrading bronze armor to iron. You know those scams that used to go on in the old days when guys would say, hey, I'll upgrade your bronze to runite or whatever, and you give them your bronze and then they run away with it. Well, now you can actually upgrade stuff. So now people are going to go, hey, I'll upgrade your tin ore to iron ore, and they can actually do it. Oh, my God.
Yes. And here's the... so what's happened is that you need roughly about... how much energy you need? I think it's like two or three.
Two.
Each one?
Yeah, two.
Which is very low. Then you need about three of that particular item. So in my case, if I were to change diamonds into dragon stones...
You need five diamonds, which
five
is
diamonds.
Not,
yep.
It's not cost worthy to do that because
that.
An uncut.
Actually, for
just
me,
wait,
it is.
Let me tell you what we're going here. An uncut diamond is 7,800 GP on the Grand Exchange. Multiply that by five. That's kind
cut.
Of expensive.
Was
39.
No, it's uncut. And then you only get one dragon stone from that.
Right. But if you craft that dragonstone into an amulet of glory, do you make your money back? What's the price of an amulet
question.
Of glory?
Well, is it more than 39,000?
Nope. They're basically on par with dragonstones so far. Cut dragonstones so far. We also took a look at trees, so logs so far. You can make a little bit of money. XP wise, no, but money wise, you can make a little bit. Especially with changing maples into U logs, I found that. Doing quick math, you actually make about 100 more, about 7,500 more.
Yeah, the wiki says it's a profit of 358 coins by converting maple logs into U logs, three maple into one U. Whereas the diamond to dragonstone, five diamonds to one dragonstone, is actually a loss of about 24K.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying 24K, is that the price of a glory?
No.
Glory's
10K right now.
Oh, 10K, okay.
It's on par with Cut Dragonstone so far.
And does Transmutation give you experience and divination?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Yeah.
Like how much?
You get 12 experience for doing the Dragonstone one, for example, at level 58 divination.
But, you know, here's the thing, though, is that those for us who have the kingdoms, we basically have an unlimited supply of maple logs.
That's right.
That's why it's so cheap.
I know. So if you think about this, if people actually start turning these
U-logs, and U-logs get used for fletching, so there's always a demand for those, and people will be starting to buy U-logs when the price comes down, even for fire making, there's going to be a huge market for that. That's really going to be lucrative.
And in theory, you can change the U-logs into magic logs, too.
Yeah,
yes, you could.
Not?
And make a little bit more money.
Well, you got to turn your divination quite high for that.
Yeah, I know. But we were doing a quick little math game with my clan to see, like, you know, would it be effective to mine a bunch of normal logs and turn it into magic logs? Just, you know, kicks and giggles, just wanted to see what would happen. All right. So, but, you know, we kind of figured that you need the energy for that level. So you need a pale energy, turn a normal into oak, and then the second one to turn oak into willow and so on and so forth, you're wasting so much time. It's like, it's not worth it, but the idea of it is really nice.
Yeah. One other one stands out for me, too, is at level 39 divination, silver ore, which probably is not that expensive on the Grand Exchange. You change it into gold ore. And gold ore, everybody's using that to train smithing, right?
Yep, because with the goldsmithing gauntlets and the smelting.
That's right. So right now, if somebody were to buy a huge amount of silver ore on the Grand Exchange, there's going to be huge demand for that, knowing that they can turn it into gold and make a profit. Right now it says 34 coins profit. And so it's going to drive the silver ore price up eventually, but right now it could be pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's 123.
So I could buy 650,000 silver ore at this current price. You think that would suck it all out of the market?
Probably.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Do
but,
it.
The other thing is, you know, gold ore right now is about 430, and it went up a little bit more. Gold bars are basically dirt cheap, which is why I love them. But, you know, then again, the supply of...
No, yeah. I was just looking at the at easier ways to get rune ore now with this.
Yeah, we thought about it, but the idea is that you need... You'd spend a lot of time doing it. Right, the maple ones, you may do it because you have so many maples anyway. It may be helpful just to cut down the clutter, but with all the energy, I mean, right now the energy are expensive. It's not worth converting them. I mean, that's assuming you gather that much energy to convert it, not buy it. That's how you make money. So
it's probably more
willing...
worth if you just harvest the resources themselves, huh?
Yeah. So the if you turn them all into energy, that's great. You go a little bit faster. But the point is, you know, for each regular memory, you have about 3 energy. So that's going to, just kind of do the math. If you need 2 energy for each one, you multiply that by how many logs you have, then you kind of figure out you need that much memory to do it. And
yeah,
it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Transmutation seems fine, but I think the real good rewards to look at are the signs, especially for the backpack ones.
Oh yeah.
So that's pretty much all we got for Dungeoneering rewards. Do you guys have? Why do I keep saying Dungeoneering?
Because deep down in your heart, Shane, the Asian is getting to you, and you want to do Dungeoneering again. My Asian rubbing off of you, Shane. You know it.
All right, so. Anybody else have anything to mention about any of these divination rewards before I ask you guys a couple of questions?
I think the rewards are decent. I think they can do more with the skill, though. I kind of feel it's substandard right the way it is right now.
I didn't ask you that question yet. I just asked you about
you
the
did.
Rewards.
Yeah, and you asked about rewards. I thought it was, what it was. Could be better.
All right. How about you, Dano?
Yeah, I think the rewards that they came out with right at the very beginning of this skill are decent. I mean, there's a broad range that it will benefit skillers as well as those who like combat. So it's a start, and we know that divination is going to be tied to the next new skill that's coming out as well.
Yes.
Next year.
Next year.
All right, Alex, how about you?
I agree with these guys. That divination, right now, it's sort of in its, I guess, trial stages where it's been released, and then the guys at Jagex are getting the opinions of people saying, how is divination going for you guys? They're saying it's going good, and then they get feedback from it, and then that's what they're going to base their next update on. Because if you guys remember Dungeoneering, how they did it was they started off very simple, and then eventually they added more floors, and they added more enemies and stuff, more components to it, based off of our feedback off of it. Divination, same thing. They're starting off simple, and they're going to build up off of feedback. Because, as you can see, RuneScape's become fairly community-based nowadays.
All right.
As for the rewards, they are, again, since being in a trial, for now they're pretty good, but I imagine that in the near future they'll expand. And with the addition of this second skill, I think you should probably be saving up your energies for that.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time before that happens. Hell, we probably get a couple of 99s by next week. I mean, Zezima really shot back up.
Did indeed.
See, he's not dead yet.
And just on a general note, I mean, just the whole concept of one skill helping other skills in the game is, I'm all for that. That's kind of how I trained. So did Metal Maniac. You work your skills together, and I just love that the skill enhances training for other skills, or can make you money, or can help you do other things in the game. It's although it's like the training of the skill is about as exciting as fishing, and sitting there in RuneSpan, it's not entertaining, but the profit that you reap from it actually helps the rest of your game. I love that.
Yeah.
Guess what? It says I'm in second place right now. Wow.
Not bad. Who's in first?
Pieter. Pieter. Yeah. I don't know who that is, but Pieter is.
Really?
First. He's leading divination. That's very boring. Zezima's in second. That's exciting.
Who is in first?
Pieter.
I gotta look at this name.
Pie.
Oh, Shane knows this guy. Shane knows this guy.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Pieter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pieter.
Yeah.
Oh my God, best buds. You should totally call him and invite him for a coffee.
Purchasing those gift things to make the fur hat. Yeah, I dealt with this guy. I had no idea he was a maxed player back then.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Maybe he just has a lot of spare time now and he's getting his...
Well, the reason is that he has 99 in everything except a new one. He just hasn't gotten 200 million XP on every single one.
All right. So, moving on from the rewards, which is what consumes the skill most of the time... lore-wise, do you guys think that there should have been a stronger tie to the battle in Lumbridge, or maybe more to do with Guthix's shrine where he died?
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Yeah.
What lore?
The lore of RuneScape, the one you were supposed to read up on, but most people are dumb because there was a little bit of it.
Guthix is dead, and his energy is seeping up through the earth. That happened with the butterflies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now it's happening again.
I get that aspect of it, but do you guys think there should be a battle tie-in in Lumbridge somewhere?
Well, you kind of think about it. If you, the battle between Zamorak and Saradomin has unleashed the carnage of the earth and thus releasing energy of Guthix into the atmosphere. You must gather it to save his butt. Or save your butt if you want, I'm sure.
Save the world. We have to save the world.
Me. Okay.
All right, so you guys don't think we needed a stronger tie-in with Lumbridge then?
No. A bit more backstory towards it, but otherwise, no.
No.
Okay. All right. Will anything be uncovered later on? Like, you know, Dungeoneering had its whole little storyline like that. Will we learn anything through this skill? Or will that be left as quests and skill number two?
Well, Dungeoneering, it's like literally like sort of like a man-made object. And so you wonder who built all this. Whereas Divination, it's energy coming out from the earth, and you know it came from Guthix, so there's really not much to learn about it.
Unless you want to just learn more of the history of it.
Which we already know from the World Wakes quest, mostly.
Talks
about Guthix's rise to power and everything.
We may learn more of about like the battle,
The World Lakes?
189.
Oh. There you go. 189. We may learn more about it. I mean, Guthix was there. He was asleep, but I'm pretty sure he was attuned to the earth through the whole carnage. We may have some more interesting things coming out.
So Divination offers backstories from the God Wars, then.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. You guys think anything like that will be brought out at all? Or is that going to be done through
it
world
would
events?
Tie in. It could probably tie into that.
Hmm. I think it probably will come out in like the quest line that's going to be picking up on all of this and maybe bringing them together. Now, the wiki community has basically written in the history here. I don't know if this actually comes from the RuneScape advertisement of this, but it says it's unknown at the moment if the world can be repaired without Guthix. And it's been speculated that the life force of Gelinor may merely continue to leak from the craters, resulting in further degradation of the world. The consequences of such damage is thus unknown, but is likely to be catastrophic. So it's impending doom of Gelinor is really what's building right now because of all of this going on.
Yikes. So in other words, then, we need to find a solution to it.
Yeah.
And that'll probably be left to quest.
Which is exciting.
All right.
Cool.
That makes 100% sense to me. All right. And Now, we remember my theory about what these two skills were going to be. I said skill one was going to be a skill where you'd gather knowledge about the gods, and then skill number two would be the knowledge where you use this and apply it. Do you guys think I was right for skill number one being gathering knowledge from the gods?
No.
You think of the Chronicle, you are gathering memories of Gothics. And you go to a shrine to kind of offer the memory back. So I'm thinking in a new quest, we may have kind of like a connection between the two. But it's not going to be for a long time if that's the case. So maybe one day, but not now.
Okay, so I was kind of partially right then.
Partially.
A little bit. Except you're not really gathering knowledge of the gods. You're basically just repairing the world and learning to use that energy as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So if anything, it's more like your second one instead of the using of this energy as opposed to learning of it.
All right.
And the whole concept of divination and that is really, really weak. And they're just very loosely tying in some lore. But you could have made this skill just by calling it energy. And all you're doing is harvesting energy and converting it into something else. I mean, simply, that's the mechanics of that skill, plain and simple.
Yeah, you're right.
The word divination, what is the word divination mean?
I think it is foretelling the future, having that knowledge of foretelling the future.
Knowledge. The practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means.
Yes.
So again, you're not actually using any of the memories. You're just throwing them back into creators. Like, here, world, have your memories back.
Yeah, that's why it's really, really loose.
That's why I think, again, it's your second one. It's the applying of that knowledge you're doing right now. Like, you're not taking in the knowledge. You're throwing it back in.
And then this goes back to what was said, that it'll probably be tied together with some sort of quest. So I can live with that. All right. Now, for skill number two, what are we going to be doing with skill number two? Is it going to be one that you're...
100 million puzzle boxes.
I hope not.
Sailing.
So you have this energy that you're going to be keeping around for skill number two. If skill number one was energy, is skill number two going to be technology?
Technology?
Like crafting all this into something else?
Yeah, like taking this and rather than having it based on crafting tangible things, use it as kind of a technology kind of skill.
Like smithing.
Where you make advancements to other things in game. Because in theory, with energy, you could do that. If you have energy, you can make advancements to other things that we got. And you could smith it to make things better or craft it into other things. Like you get this divine energy, craft it into your rune scimitar, and what do we got? We got a better rune scimitar. Hence why I think it could be something like technology.
So enchantment.
Original idea for skill number two could be, there you go. Something like that.
Except magic already does enchantment.
But isn't that what they're actually giving you right now in divination as the rewards, is that you're doing something, you're able to do something which enhances something else. So to have a whole new skill, which basically is the reward base for divination right now. I mean, I'm trying to think of what else could divination be linked to that is different than what they've given us already.
I have one idea. I'm not sure if it works, though.
That's why I was confused, is because we get some rewards right now, and this is supposed to be a primary skill. So that was confusing to me. But anyways, go ahead, Alex.
My idea for the second skill is world walking. Because as you know in the lore, Gilnor was the Elder God's perfect creation, but they did make several other worlds. Now, what happened to those worlds? And there's also the hint that, like, if you team up with Ceridoman, the Icene almost invites you to his world. And we're sort of hearing things about all these different worlds and stuff, all these different creatures coming from different worlds, the centaurs coming from the Enchanted Valley, and fairies, gods, and Zanaris and stuff. I'm thinking something along the lines of being able to travel between these worlds and use their resources or whatever. So that's what I think the second skill is being able to travel to these worlds and using them. sort of as a, I don't know. That's where, and you can get knowledge and stuff from these worlds as well. Learn more about the Elder Gods and see what their play of all this is. And divination would help because, I mean, you're getting energy from the world. This is, there's energy in all the other worlds as well, I guess. I don't know, that's my idea.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Uncle Dano, do you have any ideas for skill 2?
I've heard rumors, and I think this came from my son. He may have read it somewhere in a chat or something, that I think there were two choices. One was barehanded combat, and another one was necromancy. And so I don't know where those skill. Come from. Yeah, a new combat skill.
I have no idea. Necromancy was kind of like we're dealing with gods, so we're thinking we could raise the dead again. I mean, God that is kind of the
Summoning
god of life.
Summoning
kind of
does that for us, though, doesn't it?
If you wish.
Like you're summoning spirit stuff, aren't you? So that's technically you're raising
the
dead.
That's another interesting idea. So, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what direction it's going to go. But I think we've pretty much covered all the bases of divination. One last question before we go onto our RS news of the week. The rate of experience. Do you guys think it's just right? Too fast? Too slow?
I think right now it's kind of right on with kind of the other basic gathering skills. And at the beginning, of course, you can't use any extra lamps or anything like that just yet. When that's available, people will see their XP rates rise because people put penguin points on it, and probably they'll put tiers of gothics. And I've got a whole bunch of those necklaces in my bank that I haven't assigned to a skill yet, so I'm going to probably put them on there. So we'll be able to get, you know, faster XP rates later on when we can add that to it. And I think right now, it's not bad. As people train it, you're going to have less and less competition for those orange little balls that are flying around. And if you gather a lot more of those, I mean, and put them at the Gothic Shrine, that helps. Everything helps. I just don't know how grueling it's going to be when you get into the 90s.
Or boring.
Yeah, well, it's going to be like woodcutting, I imagine. So
that's where you raise a lot of money and you buy a lot of energy off the Grand Exchange just to give you that little extra when you cash it in.
All
right.
Yeah, let's start wrapping this up. We've been here for a while. So, all right. Let's see.
So, is there anything else that you guys want to mention regarding divination?
Make the thing. Make the version of Ring of Life and Engineering very good, very useful. Probably could have saved my butt more than once. Actually, that's just that once.
All right.
Cost me 10k experience.
Well, with that being said, unless Alex and Dano don't have anything else.
Signs of the Porter, Stroke of Genius. I'm going to make a whole ton of those now that I know that they do everything.
And as for me, divine locations and bringing more raw materials into the economy, it's going to be very interesting looking at what the Grand Exchange does.
All right. So, moving on from that, just a quick note. We do have a divination calculator up if you're interested in playing with some numbers as to how much energy you need to gather, or that sort of thing. This is a skill that we could actually make one for. So link will be in the show notes to that at update.rsbnb.com.
You should add to the calculator times, like how long it takes in order to, how long it usually takes to get that experience.
That's a good idea. Experience.
And then you can see sort of roughly how long it would take to actually train the skill to that level, as well as how much experience you'll need. Because that's what people mostly want, is they want to know how long it's going to take, as opposed to how much experience and how many times they have to do something.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a thought.
All right. So in the release notes this week, anybody have anything interesting that popped up?
Just a sec. Let me read them.
Okay, I'll tell you what mine are. JMod clones on the Battle for Lumbridge battlefield will now correctly lose their adrenaline when the player uses Natural Instinct.
Hmm.
What?
So, JMod clones, what is that?
I don't know. Fake JMods? That kind
of. Because I've not seen any of those on the Battle for Lumbridge.
Nor have I.
That's a weird one.
I haven't either.
The darkness caused by Nexus Shadow Phase will now fully envelop the player's screen rather than just the minigame HUD.
Hmm.
And the purchase limit on Rocktail Soup has been relaxed.
Yay. Rocktail Soup. Dana, you have any?
Just one. The one that says music is no longer interrupted when closing the gear interface. That didn't really necessarily reflect what the problem that I was having, but it did remind me that tonight I had my playlist running, so I have my list of songs. And what happened was I was collecting my squeals, Squeal of Fortune. Every time I would spin, it would actually change to the next song in my playlist. So it just kept going to the next song. Every time I hit the button spin, oh, the next song started playing. So that's a bug that I got to submit to them.
That's funny. That's new. For me, it's Duncan's Journal, a letter from from Lord Dracurius, and Henry, a message from the Death of Chivalry, can now be stored in player own house bookcase. Which is good.
Oh, but good. Finally.
Some elite clues located around Black Knight Fortress are now reachable. Uh-huh. And it's no longer possible to place a cannon inside their Herbloy habitat. Wonder where they found that one out.
Sorry. What would you kill there?
Huh?
What would you kill there?
Mm-hmm.
Players. You make players leg out, set up a whole ton of cannons.
Oh.
And everybody legs out and you get everything to yourself.
Yay. It's kind of like when in back to Divination. Okay, here's people that just want to like really mess with you, and we're at one of these rifts, and people are putting flowers all over the place. They're bringing all their pets. They're making fires all over the place, so you can't click on anything. It's really frustrating. I just don't like that attitude.
Hey, I haven't had that problem yet. Whew.
All right. So that's it for the release notes, and on to the battle update for the week. Ceridoman's lead has increased to 25 million, not by 25 million. You might as well just call it over if that was the case.
because Divination, I figure, is going to be taking up everybody's time, and so that would be the perfect time for the Zamorakian side to make a comeback, to focus a little bit more effort on that and then catch up, but apparently not. Zamorakians are more into Divination than we are.
The Duke's Dilemma. Last week, the choice selected was voted to improve the weapons and train at the Combat Academy. And this week's the question is, should we request magical protection for the town and castles? The choices are to call in the ZMI mages, ask the druids for wardsmen, ask Papa Mambo for help, or don't get anyone involved. And, of course, remember to go do this because you get bonus XP in a selected skill. So if you're on a thieving training binge, go get your bonus thieving XP.
And for the record, it stacks. It stacks, by the way. It stacks. You can keep on adding it to the experience. Cool. You can keep adding all of them to one skill, and it'll just stack up. Sorry, I rudely interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay because I got 35,000 bonus construction XP from that now.
Yeah. Which one did you pick for this week?
Thieving.
No, I mean out of the new dilemma, the ZMI mages, the druids, or Papa Mambo, or nobody?
No one? Yeah, I mean,
if a giant fireball lands in Lumbridge, they deserve it?
Well, no, there's only 35,000 credits left, and you got to save them for something, right?
That's a good idea, yeah.
And once they're out, they'll druids. Be out. Okay. What about you, Dano?
ZMI mages.
Okay. Zamorak Magical Institute.
I voted druids because they ain't doing nothing no more. They don't have any more guthics to worship, so they don't. They just sit around drinking tea and doing nothing.
All right. So moving on from that, this week they put out a podcast, actually last weekend, about the deities of Gilinor and who to follow. So if you're at all interested in getting more background on the gods, you can have a listen to it on their Podbean or iTunes. So some of the questions they brought up are, for example, who made the gods' names? How much a role were Caramir and the goddess play in future events? And what would happen if the Battle of Lumbridge ended in a tie?
Exciting. There will be a big explosion.
I honestly don't see it happening to end in a tie, but that's the way it works, I guess.
You never know. I mean, the weeks come, maybe something weird's going to happen, like Zamorak suddenly gets the upper hand and all his followers can mine twice as many divine tears.
Yeah, and then everyone will be swapping to Zamorak, so.
Yep.
All right. Also, this week, new on the Solomon's General Store is the Siege Pets. So you got the Warborn Behemoth and the Prototype Colossus. Does this Colossus shoot fire? I know. No. Aw, that's too bad. You know, like the StarCraft II Colossus? I don't know if anybody out there is listening. Or
the Protoss one?
Yeah. Uncle Dano, you ever try StarCraft?
Nope.
Yeah.
Just have time just to play an occasional hour or two RuneScape every so often.
You can stop talking. Yeah, Shane's lost all respect for you.
No, that's not true.
I'm kidding.
And the final thing of this week is a BTS video for the new Solomon store and loyalty store mashup. So you can have a watch through this, and you'll see that on the 27th. So next week, this new store opens up, and you'll finally be able to purchase bank boosters with your loyalty points.
Yay.
Yay.
I've got 100,000 loyalty points, and I have no idea what to do with them.
So do I.
I have 216,300.
Yeah, you.
I'm ready to go to the store.
Yeah, so all of us are waiting for that. And, of course, the long-term members will also be getting a boost in the amount of loyalty points they get, so that's good.
Yay.
All right, so that's it for the RS section. That we could end the show now, but we're going to do the questions, and then we'll see what time we're at if we have time for tech news. So the first one is an audio question from Parnassius.
Hey guys, Parnassius here. I've been spending a lot of time at the Barrows Brothers recently in an attempt to get all their drops and to see how long it will take and posting results on YouTube. I enjoy it there as I find it not as tedious as some of the bosses. I even like fighting a Crusade with his prayer switching ability. The last few days, though, a glitch has appeared and you can't see what he is praying against, which makes it awkward to kill him. This has made me wonder, what are your favourite bosses to fight and what bugs or glitches have you come get up against in the game? Also, having done the new quest, I was happy to see the Centaur introduced. I'm hoping it will be a new higher level monster to fight with unique drops in the future. If Jagex do introduce it as such, do you think they should make it a Slayer task only creature to help keep players from camping it and thus devaluing the drops? That's all I have. Thanks for the entertaining podcast each week, and happy RuneScaping.
Spoke too fast. What was the question?
Okay, first up, what's your favorite bosses to fight?
King Black Dragon, he's easy. Mm-hmm. Just for kicks and giggles, I just kill him once in a while. Not going to get anything, but he's considered a boss still. You should just pair up with someone, just go in there for a while.
How about you, Alex?
Do Mighty Banshees count? No, probably not.
I don't know.
I don't really fight bosses that often. Like, I fought the Queen Black Dragon once just for the museum kudos, but that was about it.
Ah, okay.
I don't have a favorite boss.
Okay. How about you, Uncle Dano?
Yeah, I'm the same as Alex. I mean, I don't do bossing that much, and you know, I did have fun with the Queen Black Dragon and my insta-kill dart, and that was about it.
Okay, I got one. Kriara.
Okay. That works.
Kriara, the Armadillian general.
As for me, my favorite boss to fight is, well, I don't fight it anymore, but back in the olden days, I did lots of Kalfight Queen runs, and of about 430 runs, only got one Dragon Chain body. One. And this is back when they were worth 30 million. And that was a two-way split between Mike and myself.
Split.
Nice.
I don't know where that, how I said split, but I guess split works fine.
Split. Okay. So,
but now if I had to choose, and as involved as I get in boss hunting is the same as you, Parnassus, either just barrows or maybe one day if we do a side event, we'll go down to God Wars. And speaking of the insta-kill darts, I used mine on Nex, and I got two pairs of Torva gloves.
Sweet.
It was double drop weekend.
I did it.
I used mine up like 2 weeks before the double drop weekend was announced.
See, this is like, it's just typical luck. It's like my third age plate legs. It just happened to happen that way.
It did, yeah.
So, anyways, what's some of the glitches that you guys remember seeing?
Oh, boy.
I can't remember any.
I think my favorite was being able to stack up cannons like right next to each other. I have a whole ton of pictures of those. Those were my favorite thing I've ever done in RuneScape.
Okay.
But what you're able to do is that when you set up a cannon, you're able to go back to Nilodia and grab another one, and then if you position it, like I think to the south or to the southeast, the east or the south of that cannon, you can set up another one. Or hold on. No, west. I'm sorry, west. Because you had to set them up from right to left. But so long as you set the cannon like to the west of that cannon, you're able to set it up right next to it. As opposed to if you try to set it up to the east, then it wouldn't let you. It says that it's too close. So I was able to do that and stack up a whole ton of cannons next to each other. That was fun.
So Uncle Dano, you don't remember any glitches now or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, but speaking of cannons, it was always amusing bot busting in Varrock, you know, putting it right outside of Aubrey's rune shop there to stop the bots, but that was kind of fixed. So, but that wasn't really a glitch, but that was using a cannon that just reminded me of that.
It's a glitch in the bot program.
Yes.
Some of the glitches that I remember were relatively simple graphical glitches and whatnot. There was a time when the Infinity Boots would stick to the ground, so if you did an emote where you jumped up, your feet would stretch, and you'd see that. So that was nice. There was also the time where if you wore the Carl's skirt, it looked like you were wearing tights. Because the bottom part for the legs underneath the skirt was too thin to your legs, so it looked like you were wearing tights. And there was also a couple of construction glitches, actually lots of construction glitches. The first one is that you were able to do something with the benches in the throne room or the chairs or the table.
Yes,
I remember that.
And then
that.
You'd
that
be able to walk around and you'd have the...
Yeah.
You'd be moving around while still seated.
Or somebody like would go on. Someone would go on your throne and do something and then log out, and it would steal your throne away from your house until you logged back out and logged back in. Yeah.
Wow, I don't remember that one. Okay.
How about the weapon emote swap? I think. Or are you going to talk about that one, the weapon emote swap? Where if you do that seating glitch and then you get up and you swap your weapons while you're doing it, if you're holding a two-handed sword and then you swap it out the whip, you'll hold your whip as though you're holding a two-handed sword. So they have like both hands up and the whip is just...
Or using the candy cane emote. Remember that one? The candy cane emote. It would like flip it into the air, but as you do the emote, you switch it to a weapon in your inventory and you're actually flipping and juggling the weapon in the air instead of the candy cane.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then there's also one when construction came out where if you were able to put the house into build mode and remove a room when somebody was up there. And you would be able to get this person stuck on an invisible second floor, and the only way for them to get out would be to log out and re-enter the house. This was in the first couple weeks that construction was around.
Wow.
And also with construction, we can't forget the Falador Massacre, in the PvP mode of the POH somehow was inadvertently extended to the entire world. So all of Falador from Rimington south through Falador all the way to now where the Guthix Monument is, that was an active PvP area on June 6th of 2006. So anybody who's been around that long will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Massacre.
A lot of people lost a lot of very valuable stuff that day.
Yeah.
That's what made it scary.
I've still got a floating room in my house if anyone's interested.
Oh, wow. I can continue on with construction glitches. There is also another one with construction where people would just die all of a sudden.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
You'd see these guys with like 99 hit points just fall over and die.
Weird.
So most of the glitches I remember are due to construction. But all right. Does anybody else have any glitches?
There was this one insta-kill glitch in Juno's chamber one time where there's like a big crowd of people just chilling out there, and then for some reason somebody would just for no reason die and drop all their stuff. We had no idea what caused that. Like, we're just all gathering around waiting for that to happen to someone, and when it does happen to someone, everyone just piles onto them. I didn't stick around for too long, but I saw it happen a few times.
All right. And finally, the question about the centaurs. Do you guys think that centaurs will be released at some point for as a high-level slayer's task?
Probably not slayer task. Probably more just a high-level enemy, similar to the Tormented Demons, where they're very difficult to fight by yourself. Maybe if you have a couple guys with you, you'll be able to take them down a little bit more easier, but...
All right.
I don't know. They can keep on getting stronger with the monsters now. That's probably what's going to happen, is they're going to keep on getting more technical with them. Because from our last boss, I forgot what its name was, it's getting
Virago.
They're getting very, very clan-oriented with their enemies. So maybe what's going to happen is going to become a whole war zone where we have like a whole ton of centaurs all at once. No safe spots. If you want to fight one, you have to fight them all. So that's why you have to have a big clan rushing all at once, and that's the only way you're going to get a couple kills. That's what I see happening.
All right. Dano, you have anything on the centaurs?
Nope. That was good.
All right. Shall we move on to the next one then?
Sure.
All right. Let's get Alex to read the next one.
All right. This is a question from Paparo Halt. If you have been training divination, which location has been your most favorite so far? Mine has been the Golden Apple Tree. Thanks, Paparo. Golden Apple Tree.
All right.
You got
that?
I'll
go first.
And then lag out? All right.
Oh, Uncle Dana, you agree with the Golden Apple Tree?
Yes. First of all, that's as high as I've gotten so far. It seems to be a very good location because, as I said before, there's a fairy ring right there. Makes quick hopping to the Guthix Shrine really fast. And there's not a lot of trees. Those first three rifts, they had trees all over the place. It was hard to click on the actual wisps. There was just too much clutter. So I like this one. It's much more open and easier.
Okay. I'm going to have to say the one just north of Falador. I didn't find that one too bad, but I found the one that was by the yew trees and the flax field. That one was pretty hard to deal with.
All those trees around you.
Yeah.
Your mic is up.
Oh. Kind of same thing with Karumja as well. All the trees everywhere.
keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
All right, so we got two for the golden apple tree. Trekkie ears.
My favorite place?
Yes.
I think golden apple tree was good. My only pet peeve so far is none of them are close to a summoning obelisk where I can recharge my summoning points. I want to be using magpies as I do this.
What are you using for? Oh, yeah, for generating jewelry.
Yes, and gems. I love my magpie. Y'all know it. Best thing to do. Huh?
Well, I know the Falador spot was right next to that one tribute to Guthix, which recharges your summoning points.
Yeah, but we'll get as you go higher, you kind of want more experience. So it's like, keep moving on. It's like,
They do have summoning potions, you know.
Yeah, but do I really want to stack those while training? It's just annoying.
Divination's
something
not
for
bad
nothing,
now.
My friend.
Divination's not bad now because you're going to the rifts and there's fewer people. But when it first came out and it was really, really crowded, it was really hard to do with all the pets and familiars and everything else around. Hard to click on the stuff.
All right. So there's our favorite locations. Uncle Dano, you want to read the next one?
Okay. The next one is a question from Techers DE. Hey, gents, with Divination having been in the game for several days now, how do you think it stacks up against other gathering skills? Cheers, Techers DE. I think we kind of answered this previously in our discussion, but I think it's about on par with something like fishing and runecrafting.
Yep. And it's not as tedious as the old farmer mining was, you know, where you'd mine one rock and the rock would disappear, or you'd mine three or four. And there's actually a lot more abundance of the wisps than there were of the mining rocks. So I'd agree. Fishing and rune spanning. And anyone else have any thoughts?
It sucks, it's horrible, it's nasty, it's awful, it's terrible, it's all right.
All right. So you guys think it's worthy of the gathering skill title?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, not and gathering for divination, but gathering for other skills.
Yeah. And we're actually going to call it a skill this time, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. Excellent. You know, I saw some posts on the forums and whatnot, people saying that, it's too slow. It's too slow, like... I personally thought the training was fast compared to some of the other things. I mean, just the amount of time it took me way back when to get dungeoneering levels all the way up to 30. So, I mean, I had 30 within the first couple hours.
And how about the first few stages of runecrafting and construction?
I'd say it's probably... slower than construction and faster than runecrafting was using the old methods. So,
well, let's remember with construction initially you had to gather up the planks, make the logs into planks, go back and forth between the sawmill, and then you could actually use them. And runecrafting, the initial stages were mine rune essence and then craft them.
Yeah, so it's
so
a
this
lot
is the
faster.
Initial stage of so this is the, again the initial stage of divination. It's the first few things. Eventually, you'll get better training methods, but for now, it's very very slow so that people can kind of get into it without too many people hitting level 99.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a good rate as it is right now.
All right,
yeah, I'd agree.
Okay.
All right, so Uncle Dano, do you want to read the last one, or should I read it?
I just read the previous one. You can go ahead.
Okay, I'll read it then.
What about Trekkie? This one's Trekkie from...
or Trekkie?
No, I'll read it. Oh. I'll read it. This one's from Flash. Dear hosts, you guessed it, another divination question. Do you guys quick hop? If you don't know what this is, basically you hop to certain worlds in order to get enriched pools. since they spawn at different times on different worlds, to do this you just have to find a friend's chat dedicated to quick hopping and add a few players that are stationed in the used world so that you can just join them quickly instead of waiting 30 seconds. I found a friend's chat to do this, and it's a pretty good method if you want maximum XP. I use it, and I find it a little quicker to level than staying on one world. It seems most of the top players are also using this method. If you really want to do some no-life divination, I recommend quick hopping. However, if you want to just go at your own relaxed pace, that's fine. Sorry if this question doesn't make much sense to you guys. I tried to word it as best as I could. Flash.
Yeah, and we touched on it earlier.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, we touched on it. We really didn't get into it. When these enhanced pools come about, they last for a small amount of time, and it lasts longer if you have more people getting the enriched memories out of it. And they come once every 20 minutes or so. So I thought about this as well, and this is a great question because I thought about it. Are they all synced across all worlds? And obviously they're not. So if they're staggered, then you could hop. And figure out, actually, you don't even need to, well, you could quick hop if you wanted to, but if you just went from each world and figured out when the time is that the next enriched pool is going to occur, they come every 20 minutes and 15 seconds, I think it is. And so you can just write down the time and know when it's going to appear in the world and just organize it. I used to do that with the star hunting, where we go across all worlds and figure out the location and the time that the shooting star was going to land in that world. And if you put it into a spreadsheet and ordered them, then you'd get the order of which star to go to, one right after the next, and you can go at least three or four different worlds and mine three or four different stars if you organize yourself. I think that's a little bit of cheating by hopping and doing that.
We used to do it before. I remember way back then we used to, Shane, you and I kind of jump to different worlds, try and mine a certain rock or something.
Yeah.
Like back when, you know, we had to get Rune Ore at the wild because that's the best spot. We just kept hopping to different servers, so we find a couple of them that still had it. And we hop back out, switch in. It was before the whole 30-second rule.
I think these enriched pools should be synced a little bit more. A wave of them coming across all worlds, but not all staggered so you can order them right up. So you go one right after, and that's all you do to train divination is go from enriched pool to enriched pool to enriched pool. I don't think that's the proper way to actually train the skill.
Why not? What's wrong with that? You're putting extra effort into it. You're putting research. You're putting that sort of extra time and effort to bring people together and organize all this stuff to train it more efficiently. Isn't that the whole point of training?
Yeah, I guess so. If that's all you're worried about is getting to 99 as quickly as possible, then yeah, I guess so. Go for it.
Well, not to level 99, but try to level it up as much as possible, because otherwise you're whittling your life away. If you can do it as fast as possible and efficiently as possible, all more power to you.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of agree with Uncle Dano on this one. I think they should be spawned across all worlds uniformly rather than just putting them all in, you know, this one huge stack queue type thing where they go in a sequential order. So, I mean, yeah, you could do that to get better XP, but do you really want to put that much effort into it? And for me, that's one of the things that I really like about this skill, is that it's refreshing. It's a way to retrain woodcutting, for example, because it feels like woodcutting was to train, and that was just relaxing to do, and it's just been so long since we've all had a skill under level 70 or 80 where you can actually get multiple levels in one day when you're starting out. And, you know, that's a nice feeling. So,
yeah.
So I'm just quite happy with going at the rate that I'm going, because it's like I was asked on the first day, why aren't you training divination right now? I said, I'm not training it right now because the worlds are going to be too busy and the skill's going to be here tomorrow. Contents of the skill aren't going to change. So why rush it?
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of a little bit of a break from the Battle of Lumbridge. But as you said, this skill's going to be here, and the Battle of Lumbridge is going to end. So you might as well put your time in there right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the only time I would do this hopping thing is if I was looking to create a huge amount of energy in a quick time. So, all right. Anything else on this one? Trekkie or Alex?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, you want a quick hop? You know, people have done it before. They just found a new way to make it better.
I didn't know this method existed, so no, I haven't been doing it, and I'm probably not going to try to do it because it's just too much effort for my part.
And some of us don't have
a million XP. Thank you.
Some of us don't have a million friends.
Some of us.
I'm so lonely.
There.
I'm surrounded by Canadians, and I'm the only Asian in the group.
That's no excuse. Everybody's Canadian. Everyone's Canadian in heart. We're all in this together, fellow Canucks.
Okay.
All right. So, thank you for the questions, everyone. Look forward to hearing more of them as you guys discover divination. Nice to see Flashback and Parnassius back, and even Pepero back. He was from way back when, I think in the Order of 08. So nice to always see people coming back.
Nothing brings people back quite like a new skill.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I did have some tech news listed, but I'm going to skip that this week due to the amount of time that we've already spent on this. What?
I like tech news.
You wanted to do tech news?
A little.
Well, I'll leave the tech news in the notes so you guys can read it on your own time if you want.
Or just read through it quickly without any discussion towards it.
All right. Well,
like,
I will
sort of
tell
like
you then what the bullet points
style
are.
Just go blah, 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 blah. In other news, blah, 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 blah. Go ahead.
Okay, so first off, Steve Ballmer has indicated that he's retiring as of Microsoft CEO in the next year, so they're going to need to find someone to fill those shoes. And it's worth noting that Steve Ballmer's been CEO since the year 2000. So it's definitely an interesting change for Microsoft, seeing with the Windows 8 initiative and Xbox One and where they need to go in the future.
Shane becomes
Next
CEO.
Up. No, thank you. Facebook ignored a security bug, and the researcher who discovered it actually used it to post details on Zuckerberg's wall. Well, basically, it was a bug that let people post on someone's wall without having the permissions to do so. And in the initial bug report that he submitted, he said that it wasn't, or Facebook replied back and they said it wasn't a bug. So he still felt it was a security issue. So he used it on Zuckerberg's Facebook page. And then now they looked at it and they said, oh no, now we're not going to give you your finder's fee because you didn't go through the right channels. So that's what the discussion relates to on this.
Awesome.
And the third piece of news this week is that the PlayStation 4 has been confirmed for launch on November 15th at the price of $399.
Cool. Best tech news ever.
Tech news bulletin of the week. All right. On to other things. Skill of the month for August. It's the defense skill of the month. And 101 Duck 1 is still in the lead with roughly 5 million experience gained. Pretty good.
All
right. Second place is Bletherskite with about 3.2 million experience gained. And third place is Fishfish with 2.8.
That's
so, a lot of experience. Yeah, it's a lot of defense XP, and combat ones are always interesting to watch. And there's still a week left, so it's entirely possible that anybody
Especially
here in the top four could.
To
could indeed come ahead and win this thing. So definitely interesting. And in tradition, when a new skill is released, the next skill of the month will be divination. So I can that's the only time we rig skill of the month is when a new skill comes out.
So let's have everybody in the RSBNB community sign up for this one. We want to see what people are doing in divination.
Oh, well, if we do that, we must also collecting energy right now and get ready.
Yeah, train your skill up as high as possible so you can get the more experienced ones.
Sign up for the divination skill. The month will open up on the 25th. So 2 days from, actually 1 day from publish of this episode.
$10 per head, children good in for $5.
So, Uncle Dan, are you going to enter divination, Scottum?
Yes.
Okay.
Because right now,
will as well.
Because the new skill came out, and I was ahead of Trekkie in the RSBNB high scores, and he surpassed me by 10 levels now. He's 55 divination, I'm 45. So I got to make those 10 levels back, and we've got a competition going again, so it gives me some incentive to train it.
I have no
Get
incentive.
Get better I'm at just... fixing the world.
That's right.
I'm just here. I'm not doing anything. I'm just here.
Mm-hmm. All right. So aside from that, I believe Uncle Dano has a pick of the week for us.
Yeah, it's a website. It's www.clipconverter.cc. And what this site actually does is a fantastic little site which will take any either uploaded file or a URL that some of the more popular URLs like YouTube, as well as the, what's the one the RuneScape soundtrack is on again?
SoundCloud,
yes. You enter really the URL in there, and it will actually extract the file from the site, and you can convert it into other formats. So you could take the audio from a YouTube video and turn it into an MP3, for example, or actually download the SoundCloud files from RuneScape and Jagex, which are beautiful pieces of music. And put them on your iPod as an MP3, which on SoundCloud, I don't think you can do that presently. So I really like this. It's very, very fast, and it's very versatile and useful. So I would encourage people to check it out.
But I can log on to the darn site. I can't get on it.
Oh,
there we go. Awesome.
Yay.
Dang, I'm going to totally use this
for
SoundCloud.
I'll definitely be bookmarking this one. It's a good tool to have, given that we started supplemental this week, and if we ever request user submissions for video, we can do that easily with this. So
nice.
And you know, this one's actually got a nice amount of options too, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. And this one actually is a recommendation from my son, so I want to give him credit for that.
Dano Jr.
Good job, son.
He's Dano Jr.
Now keep treading your dad's character for him.
Make sure you're paid.
We'll talk about that because both those ideas are illegal, and there is no evidence that is happening.
We're kidding. Come on.
No, it's not. You forget. You can have more than one person playing on this now.
What, you can?
No. Account sharing is illegal.
He's not sharing.
Correct. He has his own account.
He's not sharing.
Yeah, so
account.
He doesn't need it.
No, he doesn't.
Remember, Dana Jr., never do something for free.
If he doesn't play his account, I can't give him membership cards for his birthday and Christmas anymore. So,
And you must have those for Christmas, don't you?
That's correct.
All right.
But look at it this way: if your daddy pays you to do something on his account, you can buy your own membership.
No, it's my account. It's all me.
Or you can buy something less, more important, like food.
Meh, food is overrated.
Meh.
All right, we're not going to talk about this anymore. Thank you very much.
I like talking about food. Come on.
But we're going to move on now to an Informer article from this week from Sant. Basically, in this, he goes through ways to maximize your damage output in RuneScape. So being our combat person, he is the perfect person to talk about this. And I highly encourage everybody to have a read through this. You can find it on the Informer website at informer.rsbnb.com or in the link in the show notes. So definitely a good read. I believe we do have an interface competition winner?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty close one. We were deciding on this earlier in the show, who would win. So we had four people that answered. We had Zant, we had 101 Duck One, we had Farunky, and Brian. So fourth place winner, we have 101 Duck One. And third place winner, we have Farunky. Second place winner, we had Zant. And first place, we have Brian.
Yeah.
Just to be nice, you know, fourth place, 101 Duck One, I'll give you $100K for being a good sport. So you can take a look here what their interface is. We all kind of had different opinions over which one looks best. I didn't participate during the voting because it's my show. I shouldn't be doing that anyway. But, yeah, so congratulations, everyone. You have all won a piece of my money.
Congratulations. Rub it in his face.
Yes, congratulations.
Yes. All right.
I like your competitions, Trey.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Thanks. And they're on top of my head, too, when I do them, which is nice. So you can take a look. Maybe you can adapt your interface with theirs or make some adjustments. But they're all decent. They're all good.
Yeah. I have money. Let's make people do stuff for me.
They don't really do much of anything. Or anything, really.
I was going to say, I don't have a competition, but I do have a standing arrangement that some of the people know about. I've discussed this just in in-game chat, bits and bytes in the game, that if I'm online and I'm in the friends chat, which I usually am, automatically logs me in, and I'm doing my squeals, if I ever hit the 200 million, I'm going to split it with everybody in the chat. That's a standing offer anytime. So if you see me in there, around, well, it's 8 p.m. Eastern time this time of year. Make sure that you are in the friends chat, because if I hit that 200 million, I'm splitting it equally with everybody in the chat.
You know what's
that? There's five people.
There's five people. It's 200 million divided by five. That's what you get.
You know what's sad, though, Dana?
What?
When you do the spins, I'm just getting off work.
That's excellent. Wait.
Can you log in from work?
No, I just got off work. I'm on the highway.
Oh.
I'm on the highway. Way to hell.
That's the earliest. Mobiles. Play RuneScape while you're driving. Smart.
See, I don't do it at a regular time during the day. Sometimes I've missed it the evening before, so when I log in the afternoon, I might do it then. It's whenever I get on and I do my spins, but that is honestly what I will do if I ever win the 200 million. I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to share it.
Good man. You're an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Give.
You can give me more money.
That's excellent.
I just lost 5.1 mil.
So we got the result of the interface competition, and now we got Uncle Dano's generous offer. So now we're going to talk about the achievement singular of the week, and that was Guppy with 99 magic on the 16th. So congratulations to you.
Well done. Yay. Enthusiasm unite.
Yay.
Guppy. Guppy fish.
Magic's a good skill, so good work.
It was.
All right, so what have we been doing? Alex, first.
I've been working overtime, crunch time at my job, and whenever I do get on RuneScape, which is like for an hour at a time, I started off with Divination. I almost did it too. Dang it, Shane! I trained some Divination, and then right now I'm level 29, so yay me. But yeah, Divination, doing some of the Battle of Lumbridge, and I don't know, that's about it. Lots of work.
Okay.
I have a life of responsibility. You guys don't be jealous, because you're going to have it too, and you're going to hate it.
Uncle Dano.
I do have a job. I've been working for a long time.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't play too much, but definitely same thing. Training Divination a little bit. I'm up to 45 and Battle Lumbridge, trying to complete that so I can get the cosmetic override and all the stuff that comes with that. And I've noticed that if you look at the RSBNB high scores, the community high scores, you see everybody is basically training divination. And I just want to point out that as of the recording of the show, a div basically has the highest divination level so far at 69. So I just wanted to check that out, see how high somebody in our community has gotten already. And that is fantastic. So that's about it.
Well done.
All right. Mr. J1, J2, J3.
I just did divination. That's all I did all week. Divination, ports, and a little bit of engineering, which was nice. I thought I'd try experiment it, you know, before we went on the show.
All right.
That's all I did. It just worked. Head back. That's it.
Okay. For me this week, primarily divination, yes, as you can guess, because that is the skill that came out this week. So that's what I've been up to on there. But before that, I spent some time at the God Wars, or not the God Wars battle. Jeez, I'm not saying things right today. The Battle of Lumbridge.
That is a God War. Come on.
I guess. But it's not the God Wars. So I'm about 3,000 tokens away from getting all the armor available and the unlocks that I want. So I'm happy about that. And after that, it's back to divination. So we'll see how high that goes, but I definitely really, really do like this skill. It's my favorite gathering skill.
Yay. You know what? Why not? It's my favorite gathering skill, too, just because it's fresh.
Yeah,
it's my favorite
gathering skill, too.
Just because I have 99 and all the other gathering skills, I've got a new skill to work on now.
Yay! It's exciting!
It's new! I was going to get into combat, but, foiled that plan now.
Yep.
Yeah, combat's overrated anyways. Like, you're never going to use it, are you?
No.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the divination cape also looks very nice, too. Granted, the cape is not the only reason you want to get 99, but I think this might be a 99 candidate for me, once we learn what skill number 2 is going to consist of.
I can't wait to see what the skill cable mode is.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Well, at this rate, probably we'll have it in about a week and a half, give or take. So.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Well, the animation for actually depositing the energy and the memories into the rift, if you look at that very closely, it's like you're giving birth out of your belly button to a blue beach ball.
I'm just calling it Minecraft,
very,
bro. You're doing
very
the Minecraft.
Odd.
That's funny.
I'm just doing a Minecraft throw into the crater. Or as Rooster Teeth calls
it,
gauzing.
So, does anybody else have anything to say before we say goodbye?
Yakamorph.
Keep divinating, if that's a word.
you just made it up, so that's fine.
Keep training. Keep divving, they're going to call it now. Div.
Yeah.
After the HTML tag element, div.
All right, so with that being said, everybody enjoy yourself training divination, and thank you to Alex and Uncle Dano for joining us this week. It was a great show, and
Yay.
Hopefully it's been insightful.
All right, bye.
Take care, y'all. Don't miss me too much.
Godspeed, everyone.
Keep smiling.